I appreciate the opportunity to get to go with the young people. It was a misfortune of another that I got to go, but I had a good time. Brother Ben, I wish you'll understand this. I wish there was some way you could work with young kids and young people and get to sleep while you do it. There's no creature. And so if you want to be a blessing to me tonight, if you see a young person and you nod off while I'm preaching, smack the dickens out of them. That'd be a blessing to me. But I praise the Lord. We had a great time there and enjoyed what we saw. We seen in the choir up there last night, and they got to sing that Hallelujah the Lamb. And I know it's different everywhere you go, but there was one in particular, old fella, in this area, and he was in the middle of the row, and it got more than he could handle. It got bigger than him. Our asker went to shouting and waving his arms. I was glued on him. His thrill of my soul. I thought he was going to kill somebody, but his thrill of my soul. He finally worked his way out of that pew and into that aisle. Man, he was in another world for a few minutes. That thrilled my soul. And I tell you, I love old time religion. Had it been on my mind, I came close to preaching on that tonight. It's alive and well. A lot of people think that it's no good, think it's outdated, but I want to tell you, it works. It works. This newfangled stuff don't change anybody. It may reform them. It may put them in a big bill to make them look like they're something else, but it doesn't change a life. Old-time religion makes a new creature out of somebody. The old-time way works. The old-time book works. The old-time singing. And the same gospel works to change lives. And if your gospel doesn't change lives, it's a false gospel. Because the gospel in the Word of God is a life-changing gospel. Every man that came to Jesus left a different way. The first time you find the grace of God showing up in the Word of God was an old Noah. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The next verse of his life reads, and Noah walked with God. And old-time religion will do that for a man. I praise that Lord for that old-time salvation. Not a tradition, but a power that comes with old-time salvation, old-time religion. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. I've tried to mind the Lord tonight. I got that off my chest, so maybe I can get past that old-time religion thing and get on to this. But I'm not on. What's that red light mean? Hey, I got the red light. I need the green light or the red light. You getting anything now, Anthony? I thought he's shouting. I was about to get excited. Flagging me down. Nothing? Now it's off. I've got nothing on it now. Try it again. Anything now? Stay up here and try to behave. I'll give this to the preacher and let him see if he can work the kinks out of it. And I'll stay right here. If I get out, I'll make up for it. All right. Nothing's come through yet, right? That's what happens when you do something live. There's always something that mess things up. That's all right. I've preached on street corners and everything else. That don't scare me. I can holler louder and talk faster. But Hebrews chapter 4, isn't it good to be saved tonight? Are you glad that you're saved? Is it good to know that though we live in uncertain days, we serve a certain God that's got everything under control? Isn't that good to know? Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9. Let's stand and read in honor of the reading of the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9 says this, "There therefore remaineth a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from us. But let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your good mercy and your good grace. Thank you, God, for just allowing us to be here. Thank you for the refreshment that we've been able to feel in our souls. Though we feel weary in body, praise God, we're thrilled in our souls, and we praise you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand. Thank you, Lord, for the liberty that we felt already in this place. I pray, God, you'd meet with us, Lord. You knew who was going to be here in the service. You know everybody that's listening by the means of radio tonight. I pray, God, that you'd just reach to them where they are tonight. And you'd take the word of God and you'd use it to perform that task that you've put it on my heart to do. I pray that you'd meet with us here in this auditorium. I pray you'd help us just to be able to get things out of our mind and just get focused on Jesus tonight and hear what God has to say to us. I pray, God, that you'd help me. I confess and realize that preaching is a supernatural task. So, Lord, that takes my ability completely out of the equation. God, I confess I need you tonight. Lord, I need you as I stand in this place. I need a fresh touch and a fresh endowment of the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, if you'll do that, that'll take care of everything. I pray the Spirit of God would move in these aisles. Lord, there may be one in here tonight that's never truly been saved. I pray there's one listening that's not saved. I pray the Holy Ghost would deal with their hearts and bring them to Jesus before it's too late. And God, for all that you do, we'll praise you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. In this chapter of Hebrews chapter 9, I didn't read the whole chapter, but nine times in this passage, you find a little four-letter word, and that word is rest. Now, I have to confess, I crave that pretty much while I'm preaching right now, but not for the same reason we're looking at in the Word of God tonight. The rest refers to several different things in this passage of Scripture. In some instances, it refers to heaven or the millennial reign of Christ. There's part where it mentions God's Sabbath day of rest, and then there's a place where it refers to Canaan, that land of victory. I'm glad that we can look forward to a resting place in glory. There's a resting place in victory that have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad we can just rest in the Lord tonight. Now, we live in some wearisome days, and I know some Christians are just tired. It's beyond physically. They're tired spiritually. They're just run down. They're beat down. They're chased by the hounds of hell all the time. And if we could just find us a spot where we can get enough space between us and the hounds, where we could just get down and get us a little dip from the water of life just to charge us up and go on, we're weary. And I want to tell you, we can find some rest in the Lord tonight. What does the word rest mean? The word rest means peace of mind or spirit. It means freedom from anxiety or disturbance. It means this: to place on or against a support. Now, along with these nine mentions of the word rest, we find three things in this passage that you can rest on. God didn't just tell us it was there. He gave us a place where that rest was. And I don't know if you're weird or not, but I'm pretty sure that you are. I want you to pray and let the Holy Ghost stir up your heart by the word. It's not me, but I'm glad I've got a book that's a stirring book and it can help you tonight. If you'll just listen to the Lord for just a few minutes. And I want to preach on three things that you can rest on tonight. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." I know this may sound like a drum we beat on, but I'm glad that I can rest tonight on the Holy Bible, the word of God. I'm glad I have a word of God. You know, I'm glad that I've got the real thing. There's a lot of people carry around books today that they think have the answers. We don't have to go far to find people to have the Koran or you find somebody that's got the sayings of Confucius or someone that may have the Bible for Latter-day Saints or on down the line. They're trying to find something that have the answer. Some people trying to find it in meditation. Some people try to find it in some kind of deed or possession. But you know what? I have the answer. I have the right thing in my hand tonight in the way of the Word of God. It's through this Word of God that I know where I come from. I know my ancestors didn't swing from trees by their tails. They might have sung by their necks, but not by their tails. I know that God created the world through the Word of God. I know what I'm doing here. I'm not wandering down aimlessly in life trying to find some kind of purpose. I found it in the Word of God. And thank God I know where I'm going when I leave here because I have the Word of God. And I rest in that tonight because I can rest in the Word of God because, like the old, I think it's a Pepsi or Coke commercial, I got the right one, baby. Amen? Let me tell you the initials on mine, too. The King James. Amen? We'll put that out for the radio tonight. That King James is a Word of God for the English-speaking people. You believe that? I believe that. I'm not going to spend time on that, but it's good to know that you got the right thing. Amen? But not only that, hey, it's not just the right thing, the real thing, but it is right. I got the real thing, I got the right thing. Isn't it good to know that this Bible just didn't stop at being the Word of God, but man, it goes on being the Word of God. You know, not one word in this Bible will ever return void, every prophecy God ever made. Hey, I talked about Noah a while ago, finding grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible told Noah every day it rained. He told him it's 120 years before it rained. He got a word from God that it's going to rain. And 120 years later, it rained. God told him through his word. It wasn't in a leather back and it had pages, but it was the word of God from his mouth. Hey, I've got it right here. Hey, the word of God, all scripture is what the Bible says is inspired by the word of, is inspired and is proper for doctrine. I can't even quote the verse right. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and to all good works. Hey, 2 Peter said, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And just isn't just a list of words or a list of books from a lot of different authors. This is the word of God. Don't underestimate. It has the answers. The Bible has the answers. It's right. And everything it said comes true. He promised us that not one jot, not one dot or an I, not one cross of a T would come to pass till all was fulfilled in the Word of God. Hey, we just celebrated Christmas, the birth of our Savior. Every bit of that was prophesied in the Word of God. Just like it said, it came to pass. But it's right. But you know, this old book's reliable. Isn't it good to know you count on what this Word of God says? But it's your Bible, but it works. I mean, it works. You know what got me in when I got saved? I appreciate old time singing. I enjoy that. That ain't what got me in. I like little plays sometimes. I enjoy those, make stuff real, but that ain't what got me in. My grandma sitting in a rocking chair didn't get me in. It was the preaching of the Word of God. There's a man getting up in a pulpit preaching heaven hot, or hell hot and heaven sweet. Prayer with me, amen. And eternity long. It's through this word of God I found out I was a sinner. Hey, you think, I know men that were hardened sinners. I know men that have served time in federal penitentiary for drug smuggling. I know people that served time in jail for murder, all kinds of different stuff like that. But you know God saved them how? Through the preaching of the word of God. It wasn't some reformation committee. It wasn't somebody trying to dry them out with AA or some other kind of something like that. But it was preaching of the word of God, and that word of God that's quick and powerful and sharp than any two-edged sword, God used to do open heart surgery on them, took out that black stony heart that was in them and give them a heart that is washed in the rich royal blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God. Praise God for his word. Some people panic in the days that we live. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Hey, it's just all falling under the and between the covers here. It doesn't care. He said in the last days it'd be like this. Just like the word, you can count on it. But you know, we just don't rest on the Holy Bible. But you know, we rest on that high priest. The Bible says in verse number 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which should not be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Hey, you can rest on the Word of God. I've mentioned that, but there's something else you can rest on. You can rest on our high priest. To get a good idea about this high priest, we've got to go back into the Old Testament. Now, I want to talk about the Day of Atonement for just a minute and the works of that high priest. On that Day of Atonement, it would come once a year. And that high priest, there'll be lambs to that high priest. That high priest would come. He would take off his beautiful robes that showed his office as a high priest. He'd put on plain white garments and humble himself. Then he would take a couple of bullocks and some goats, and he would sacrifice a bullock for himself. And he would go in the first time into that holy place. He would take that incense, and he would wave it in there, that censer, so that it would block his view of the altar of the covenant of God, so he couldn't see it, so God wouldn't kill it. Then he would go back out. He would sacrifice that little bullock for himself. He'd go back into that holy place for the sins of himself and the sins of his family. He'd sprinkle that blood on the horns of that altar on that Day of Atonement. He would go out one more time, and he would take another bullock. He would slay that bullock. He would go into that holy place for a third third time and confess the sins of the people and put the blood on the horns of that altar. He'd go back out and they would have two goats ready for him. He would take, hey, they would cast lots. I don't know how they did that. They would take one of those goats and he would confess the sins of all Israel. He had his hands on the head of that goat. And they would take that goat. An able-bodied man would take that goat, go into the wilderness with that scapegoat. The other goat, they would sacrifice. And that blood he put into the holy place. All they could do with those sins is take them somewhere else and move them out of the way. He would then go change his clothes, take off those humble garments, put on his robe. He'd walk out it where everybody could see him so they'd know he'd still alive. Because if they knew he was alive, that meant that God didn't kill him in that and that God had accepted the sacrifice. Well, I want to tell you something. That's not my priest. I have a high priest in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. His story goes just a little bit different. He did change his garments. He laid down his royal robe and royal attire in heaven, took on him the form of a man. Hey, he said in Philippians chapter 2, he thought it not robbery being found equal with God, but he humbled himself, took on the form of a man, became obedient even unto death. Hey, you know what the Bible says? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor. He took on the form of a man. He took on those lowly garments. But it was a little bit different when he went into the holy place. He didn't go three times. He didn't go in and wave the incense so he couldn't see the glory of God. He didn't go in and make a sacrifice for himself. Matter, hey, he didn't have to. He was sinless. Our priest is without sin. He didn't have to take an offering for himself. He went back out. He didn't get a lamb for somebody else. He was the Lamb of God. He offered his own blood, went into the holy place of God. Hebrews 9:12 says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, Christ entered once into the holy place and obtained eternal redemption for us. He didn't go out and find a scapegoat and put his hands on his head, send it away just to hide the sins. Thank God those sins are dealt with now and forever. Hey, you can rest tonight to know that Jesus Christ, our high priest, took care of the sin debt. They're not hiding in a back room. They're not hiding somewhere ready for him to drag them out. I'm glad the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God's not going to bring them up. When you stand before God tonight because of what the high priest did, I stand and he looks at me as if I had never committed one sin in my life. I'm glad Jesus dealt with my sins on an old rugged cross. I don't have to deal with them now. I confess what I do to him just to keep fellowship whole. But thank God I stand clean before God tonight because of my high priest. If you can't rest in that tonight, you need to take you a Holy Ghost sleeping pill of salvation, get birthed in the family of God, and know what it's like to be forgiven of your sin. Amen. I'm resting on that high priest tonight. Though hell rages around you, thank God I've got a word. Thank God I've got a priest that I can go to that's paid the debt for me. Hallelujah, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed me white as snow. And one day I'll stand before and complete, lay my trophies down because of what he did back yonder at Calvary. Amen. Praise the Lord. We just need to slap our face a little bit, wake up, shout glory. Hey, man. Amen. That's good preaching. Even I'm doing it. Amen. That's truth. Hallelujah. You can rest on it. You can lean over on that. You ever leaned on something and it tip over on you? Couldn't hold the weight? It's a hold you up, friend. At work at Calvary, a hold you up. There's a lot of people running around saying, well, you can lose it. What? Just exactly who died for your sin? If you got saved, if your mama saved you, or your preacher saved you, or some denomination saved you, well, that salvation might get lost. Yeah. Praise God, that blood-bought salvation purchased by the high priest of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's settled. It's done forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Ain't it good to be saved? I like that kind of salvation. That's old-time salvation right there. Boy, isn't it good to know something as big as God can move in you like that? That's, you remember what you were? You, it wasn't too long ago on a New Year's Eve where you were. You was at a party, you had a beer can, or you had a joint, or you had a line of something you was about to snort up your nose, or you was with a man or a woman you shouldn't ought to have been with, but where are you tonight? You sat down at the house of God, listen some preacher rant and rave and shout the victory and praise God tonight. Isn't it good we got a high priest? Hey, he just doesn't cleanse you, but he come looking for you, come picked you up out of mess you was in, lifted you up, set your feet on a rock. Hey, where one day you was a rebel rouser, thank God he took you from the mire to the choir. Amen. Got a brand new song. Don't have to sing in a honky tonk tonight to get my thrill. I'd sing I rest my case at the cross. I'd sing he did it all for me. I'd sing I'm a soldier. Hey, I'd sing I want to die on the battlefield. Oh, somebody died on the battlefield for me. Amen. I hope about 3 o'clock in the morning that stirs in your heart and goes shout, elbow your wife. Amen. One more thing we have in this scripture, this last verse. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, and we obtain mercy, find grace to help in the time of need. We can rest in a holy Bible. We can rest in a heavenly priest or in a high priest, but then we can rest on a heavenly throne. Just a couple weeks ago, I preached on a little bit of this up at Mountain View Christian School there in the chapel service. Boy, how God blessed me as I was looking at this verse. But what a blessed truth we have just in these few short lines of verse 16. Let us therefore. That's a good there. You know what that therefore is there for? Because of what happened in those last verses. Because of our high priest, I can now come boldly to the throne of grace. When I look at that heavenly throne, I see just a couple of things. Number one, I see access. I'm glad that I can go to the throne. I don't have to go to some other man and count on him as a priest to pray because I can't. No, sir. I'm a priest now. He saved me, by the way, child of God. We're a chosen priesthood is what the Bible says. But I can bow my head anytime, anywhere, for any cause. I can lift my voice. I can whisper under my breath. I can speak in my heart. And I have access to the throne room. I may not look much to you. I've been accused of being several people this week that I was not. We'll not get into that. You just stay out of this over there. But you know what? When I can go to the throne of God, I'm not a celebrity. I'm not a rich man. I'm not a real educated man. I'm not even a real charismatic man, to tell you the truth. I'm just not that way. But you know what? When I bow this head and I bow this heart, this child of God, you think about this. You remember in the book of Esther, when Haman had come up with that big idea to get rid of all the Jews. On that certain day, they were going in there and kill all the Jews. And Mordecai told Esther the queen, he said, you're the only one that's going to stop. You think that just because you're his wife and they go to killing Jews that you're going to be saved? She said, well, I can't just go before the king if he don't invite me. If he don't hold out that scepter, they'll kill me. It's a capital crime. And boy, you know what happens when you pray? Kind of visualize this in your mind. Here on earth, you've got a child of God physically. They bow their face before God. But spiritually, you walk into the throne room. There's God with a staff of leadership on his throne. And what does he do? As you walk in, he looks over at his right hand. He looks at that Son of God. And with that nail-pierced hand, he points over to the mercy seat to the blood. He lowers that scepter. Come right on in. Just whatever you need, you're mine, you belong, you have access. Any child of God, they sang that song to me. We were at this week, I can pray. A child can pray. I look on the front row and I see these young girls who've been saved by the grace of God. They can call on the Lord. I look and I see folks who've got some years on them. And time's taking its toll. They can pray and they can call on God. There's small people. There's rich people. Isn't it good to know that I can call on God? I can call on Jesus. A lot of times when I look at the promises in the Word of God, preacher, that works for somebody else. That looks pretty good for them. But I can tell you there's one man right here. I can call on the Lord. I have direct access. Praise God. I got the number to the bat phone and I can call on God. Amen. But there's access. When I go to that throne, I find something else. I find that there's a king on the throne. Paul, people have misconstrued what God is. They think he's just an old man that's about dead or got one foot in the grave. But I want you to know he is the ageless one. He is the eternal one. And when I went to the throne room, guess who was there? Guess it wasn't be back in 15 minutes. Amen. He was on the throne. He stays on that throne. His ears ever open on that throne. I know it looks like the liberals and the homosexuals and everybody else are in control out there, but I want to remind you tonight, there is a God in heaven who sits sits and abides on his throne. He sees the affairs of man. Not one thing happens, catches him by surprise. Like they said, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? He's still on the throne. Rejoice in that tonight. The devil may beat you down like the song says. Nobody cares. Nobody's listening. Thank God for that still small voice that comes by our way. Says, get up, get up. He's still on the throne. But I found one on the throne. But boy, I found something else I needed at the throne. He said that we may obtain mercy. Amazing thing about prayer is that the very thing that we get when we go pray is that we thank keeps us from going there. Now I want to give you time to confess. How many of you have ever sinned? I'm not going to task you what it is. Man, you people's righteous. Preacher, I'm going to have to switch places with somebody. I'm just an old sinner. What do you do when you sin? Well, it's paid for at Calvary. That's right. But boy, that fellowship has been disrupted between you and God. Boy, it's got to be dealt with between you and Him like a father and a child. And boy, when I go to that throne, you know what I find at that throne? I know. Listen, you remember what the preacher preached here a few weeks ago in the revival meeting? I know that that throne one day I'll stand before in judgment as a child of God. I know that at that throne one day lost men will stand before that throne and beg for mercy. But right now, it's a throne of mercy. What a blessing. And for when I to the point where I think I can't go, that's the very thing I get when I go to the throne of God. I find mercy at the throne of God. But the last thing we find grace to help in time of need. Thank God for the access. Thank God for the king on the throne. Thank God for the mercy of the throne. But then we got what we was after all along. Thank God for grace. These ladies sang about grace a while ago. Praise God for grace. I'm glad He gave me some grace when He saved me. I'm glad that for everything I go through in life, He gives me grace. Can I testify to you tonight? This verse works. Praise God, what a key. What a key that we have. What a blessing that we have. I mean, brother, man, I don't have a word for it, Brother Ben. And explosive what we've got when we go to God and every one of us can go and find grace. What do you need? Amen. Preacher, I need rest. Well, guess where you're going to find it? Right there at the throne of God. Thank God I can rest in the Word. I can rest on the priest. I can rest on this throne. You need rest tonight? You need rest tonight? Well, I tell you, you can find some every day here. You can find some every day in the truth of what Jesus Christ did for you. And you can find it at the throne. Boy, what an encouragement. I can pray and I can call on God. There's rest for the children of God, even in 2010. Stand their heads bowed and eyes closed. Pastor Stewart, you come.
Man, thank God for the preaching of the Word of God. What a wonderful thought that is. I praise God that we can rest on those three things and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking at myself and God. Girls go on and get ready to sing. The girls are getting ready to sing. They're going to sing in just a moment. And if you need to come for any reason, you come. And we'll be glad to pray with you. Someone will. You need to bow. You come and bow and talk to God about somebody that you're praying for or whatever the need may be. You just need to come and say, God, thank you. I can come throne of grace and rest. Whatever it is, Father, seal the word to listening hearts. Thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You need to come. You come while they sing.
Sing in your heart between you and the Lord. Are you apart, not as close anymore? There's nothing you can do that He will not forgive. Bring it to the cross, let it die so you can live. Nail it to the cross, get it under the blood. Drown your pain. Nail it to the cross. Find hope and forgiveness. got you battered and bound, struggling for strength. Do you long to lay it down? Don't take another step, just kneel.